Well, good morning. How are we doing? You having a good time yet? Can you do something for me, church? Would you mind all stand up? I don't know about you. I've got bed sores on my buttocks. We probably need to move around just a little. Just sort of stretch your legs, stretch up. Can you do something? Can you greet five people around you who you have not yet greeted yet this morning? Please do not greet your husband, your wife, your best friend. Well, amen, amen, amen. Let's take our seats together. Make ourselves comfortable. It is wonderful to see you. We've missed you. You're meant to say we've missed you too, Chris and Tris. So can we just try that again, church? Is that okay? Because now I'm feeling quite hurt, rejected and insecure and whatever. We've missed you. I'm happy now. I can go home now. It's I almost changed what I was going to preach this morning. We had the wonderful ladies' conference yesterday. I do hope you ladies who were there got blessed and suitably stuffed. But got home last night and really felt I just needed to change what I was going to preach tonight and preach upon St. Patrick and the church in Ireland and the miracles that they know in Ireland and the power of prayer they know in Ireland. Let those who have ears to hear know what I'm talking about. Do you know, as preachers, we always want to bring something new. We want to bring something fresh. We want to bring some new revelation. Until about 2-3 days ago, I thought I knew exactly what I was going to preach this morning. I even mentioned it, even shared it with a few people. And then, blow me, God changed it. And I was, God, I know they've heard this before because I preached it before. But when God brings something that we've heard before, the big challenge we face is that we don't let our heads switch off and think, oh, I know this, I've heard this before, why am I preaching it? Why is he preaching this again? Because if God brings something that we've heard before, it's because we haven't got it yet. Does that make sense? So can you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6? The good news you've got is Tris and I are going on holiday in the morning, so I can't possibly go on more than 12 hours. But Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, and if you would look at it, it would be great. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey. You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey. What I'd like you to do, if you would, is just say those words with me, long enough up this mountain. Can we do that together? I need you to help me preach a bit. Tris and I are exhausted after yesterday's conference. Can we say that together? 1, 2, 3. Long enough up this mountain. Turn to the person next to you, look them in the eye. If they fall into sleep, slap them and say, long enough up this mountain. Turn to the person on the other side, see if they're any better looking, although I doubt it. Say, long enough up this mountain. The New Living Translation translates it, the end of it this way. It says, it's time to break camp and move on. And if you're not going to get anything else this morning, if you're not going to hear anything else this morning, if you need to rush off because your chicken is frazzled already, I want you to hear those words and take them with you. It's time to move on. It's time to, Jane, you're jumping the gun here. Turn to the person next to you, like prophetic pioneering Jane. Turn to the person next to you, waggle your finger at them, put on your big, scary look. Now, you women, do not look at me like that. If you are a mother, you know how to do the big, scary look. Eyeball the person next to you and say to them, it is time to move on. It's time to break camp and move on. And if you're going to break camp, one of the things you have to do is you have to pull up the tent pegs that you have knocked into the ground. And God is challenging us to pull up the tent pegs which we've knocked in our Christian lives and in this church. This is how we do things here. This is what we're used to. This is what Bradford-on-Avon... Can we change the name to something shorter? This is what Bradford-on-Avon Community Church is like. Now, if you go with me now to Numbers chapter 9, again, I'd like you to look at it, and you should always check on the preacher. We've got an awful habit of making things up. Numbers chapter 9, it says this, and if you read through, I'm reading from the second half of the passage. It talks about how a cloud came and settled over the tabernacle. It talks about how a cloud actually came and rested on the Ark of the Covenant, upon the mercy seat, where in the Old Testament, where God dwelt. And it tells us in verse 15 of Numbers chapter 9, it was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And we know, because we're well taught in this church, we know that that is a representation of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And I'm going to start reading in Numbers chapter 9, verse 17. It says this: whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. Listen to me this morning, because I'm here to say something very simple, church, and please hear it as if you've never heard it before. Please hear it as, not, don't let it be stale and I've heard this. Let God speak to you in a new way through this. I'm here to say to you this morning, church, the cloud is moving. The cloud is moving. The cloud of God's presence is moving. The cloud of God's power is moving. The cloud of God's leading is moving. Some time ago, last year I think it was, I brought a prophetic word while I was in the pulpit preaching. I said, watch the river. Do you remember that? Because as the river rises, when the river overflows its banks, so will the spirit level rise and the Holy Spirit will overflow into Bradford-on-Avon. Do you remember that? And then I took the microphone again, I think it was in January, just after the turn of the year, because blow me, the river had overflown. And I'd heard the local news, and they were talking about how the water authority in Bradford-on-Avon had announced that they could no longer be confident that they could hold back the floodwaters. So they gave out the announcement to the people of Bradford-on-Avon, make sure your own flood defences are in place. But I felt God wanted to turn that and flip it and say the opposite. And the word I brought back in the beginning of this year was, make sure your flood defences are taken down. Make sure our flood defences are taken down. Make sure that all the hindrances, all the obstacles, all the reluctances to the Holy Spirit have been taken down in our lives. And I guess if God is bringing me the same word again, it's not because God has run out of ideas what to bring on a Sunday. It's because God is basically, we haven't quite got that right yet. Are you with me? I need to say to you this morning, the river of the Spirit is rising. The cloud is moving. You've heard Isaiah 43, verse 19 many times. I know it because I preached it many times. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Everybody say new thing. Everybody say new thing as if you mean it. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The New Living Translation puts it, see, I have already begun. Everybody say, God's begun. Everybody say, it's already begun. See, I've already begun. And it says, do you not see it? Do you not see it? Can you see it, church? It says in the Message Bible, which is always good for a laugh, it's bursting out. Don't you see it? Let's go back to Numbers. I'm going to read on from verse 18. Promise me you don't go to sleep because I'm reading about five verses. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain in camp, and according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. Is anybody getting bored yet? I read this passage, and after about two verses, I was, okay, God, I'm waving a white flag. I've got this. This is not rocket science. This ain't difficult. But it goes on. It goes on again. So it was that when it was the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year, then the cloud remained above the tabernacle. The children of Israel would remain encamped and would, at the command, they journeyed. It's incredible how God just says the same thing again and again and again and again. To be honest, God could have said, it's simple, folks, when the cloud moved, they moved. But it's like God just had to emphasize it over and it doesn't matter how long, doesn't matter how short, doesn't matter how inconvenient, doesn't matter whether it's the middle of the night, doesn't matter what was going on. When the cloud moved, they moved. And God wants to say to us this morning, church, when the cloud moves, we move. Can we all say that? Turn to the person next to you, forgetting how incredibly handsome the people in this church are. Just turn to the person next to you and say, when the cloud moves, we move. When you turn to the people behind you, you haven't had a chance to enjoy them yet, just turn to the person behind you. When the cloud moves, we move. Okay, here we go. Verse 19, I want you to pick out just one of the verses out the middle of that. Verse 19 says this. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, they did not journey. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, they did not journey. I'm going to say something and you can shoot me afterwards, that's fine. It's like the cloud has continued long here a long time. I could have Chris come back and play Kumbaya and some gentle music and whatever, but it's like the cloud has continued long here a long time. The trouble is, when that happens, then we become settled. We become comfortable. We become familiar. This is where we are. This is what we expect when we come on a Sunday. This is how we do things in Bradford-on-Avon Church. This is why I'm choosing to be in Bradford-on-Avon Church. This is what we're used to. This is what we're familiar with. This is what we've come to expect. That's why in Isaiah 43, before it says, I'm doing a new thing, can you see it? He had to say something else. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. New Living Translation puts it this way, I like this. Forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. Actually, there was a quote somebody stuck on Facebook this week, and it must have been quite good because lots of people reposted it. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook. Don't you hate it when you open Facebook and your entire page of posts are all the same? Because all your friends have reposted what somebody else had posted. And this came up again and again, and I thought, this is good, so I reposted it. It says, the past is a place of reference, not a place of residence. Isn't that good? I wish I was the first person to do it. Past is a place of reference, not a place of residence. So the trouble is, when the cloud stays long in one place, it becomes familiar, it becomes comfortable. Listen to this. And we begin to think that static is normal. We start to think that static is normal, whereas advancing is normal Christianity. How can I say that? Because they had come out of Egypt with a promise of a land flowing with milk and honey, and they weren't there yet. How can I say that? Because Jesus has spoken over us as a church. He has promised healings, miracles, and signs and wonders. He has promised we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He has promised if we only believe in him, we will do the works he did. I'm excited hearing these testimonies this morning because it's like the confirmation. It's already begun. Don't you see it? Because advancing is normal. How can I say that? Because Jesus said, I will build my church. And it ain't finished yet. This might be wonderful, but it isn't yet the glorious church that is talked about in Ephesians. It's not yet the beautiful bride that is talked about in Revelation that Jesus is coming back for. Listen to this. It's amazing how many Christians have the dumb idea that this is their church. It's amazing how many leaders have the dumb idea that it's their church. It's not your church. It's not the elders' church. It's Jesus' church. And if it's Jesus' church, all that matters is what does Jesus want to do? I don't know if you noticed something as we read through that passage. Verse 18, it said this twice. At the command of the Lord. At the command of the Lord. Verse 20, it says twice, according to the command of the Lord. According to the command of the Lord. Verse 23, it says it three times. At the command of the Lord. At the command of the Lord. At the command of the Lord. When the cloud moved, they moved. It was not a suggestion or an invitation. It was not an opportunity or a possibility. It was a command of the Lord. Everybody say command of the Lord. Whether they liked it or not, whether they wanted it or not, whether they agreed or understood it or not, whether it was comfortable or convenient, and to be honest, almost certainly it wasn't. It was a command of the Lord. And I want to say again, church, the cloud is moving here in Bradford-on-Avon. If we jump on a few verses and get to Numbers chapter 10 and verse 1, it tells us that Moses made two silver trumpets. And when the cloud moved, he blew the trumpets to wake the people up, alert the people, and get them moving. And I read that and I think, you'd think it was obvious. We're not talking about England where you look out and the sky is full of clouds. They're in the middle of the desert. There was one cloud. You'd think when it moved, they might notice. You'd think even more, there is a pillar of fire in the middle of the camp. If you had a pillar of fire outside your house, I think you might notice if it moved. I mean, I got up in the middle of the night because I'm a man in my 60s. Actually, it was more than once. And you know, the first thing I noticed is my outside light was on. My security light. I noticed that. To be honest, my security light, I was cottoned. It doesn't do anything. It lights up about 2 foot of the path. But I noticed. Do you think that? Surely they would have noticed if the one and only cloud moved, if this pillar of fire moved. But apparently, no. They needed Moses to blow a trumpet. Wake up! Why? Because they had become so focused on their day-to-day life, they had become so focused on the normal, they had become so focused on what was settled, they needed to hear the trumpet sound. I did think, I wonder if I can find a trumpet to blow. And I thought, well, actually, back in April, I turned up with a spade to use as a prop, and I never got to preach at all, and I just looked a twit walking in and out with a spade. But it goes on. I'm jumping down to Numbers chapter 10, verse 35, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Not only did that happen, when the cloud moved, the trumpets blew, and on top of that, Moses shouted. As if they had dozens of silver trumpets sounding in the camp. And what Moses shouted was this: rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. The problem with that interpretation, I don't think we get it quite right, because it makes it sound like a request or a prayer. It's not that at all. It is a declaration. And it's like Moses was declaring, God is raising up. God is on the move. And whatever I can this morning, if you're waiting for something new and some deep theology, it ain't going to happen. This is the message. I'm just waffling. The cloud is moving. The cloud is moving. God is doing a new thing. Do you not see it yet? If I had a trumpet, I would blow a trumpet. If I had a loud voice, I would shout even louder. God is on the move. God is rising up. Will somebody please say amen? Amen. But if we look in Numbers chapter 10, verse 14, can you look there just a minute? Numbers chapter 10, verse 14. The standard of the camp of the children of Judah set out first. It was always, and it is always, the tribe of Judah that goes first. And Judah means praise. Always when praise and worship is always the first thing to change. But the tribe of Judah did not set off all on its tod across the wilderness and everybody else stayed behind. Because when the tribe of praise went first, everybody rose up and followed the praise. Good preaching, Chris. Well, you guys aren't going to say it. Numbers chapter 10, verse 14. The standard of the camp of the children of Judah set out first according to their army. Over their army was Nashon, the son of Amminadab. For each of the tribes, and I'm going to spare you by not reading through all 12 of them. For each of the tribes, it specifically mentions the leader. It doesn't give anybody else's name, it just specifically mentions the leader. Why? Because when the cloud moves, the leaders need to be the first to see it and the first to hear it. Are you with me? Because if the leaders don't move, the people don't move. When the cloud moves, the leaders need to be the first to realize it and the first to respond to it and the first before anybody else to realign. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. It's a passage you all know. It's talking about gifts and whatever, and it says this: we all have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. In other words, what that's actually saying, if you're a leader, for goodness sake, will you lead? That's what it's saying. If you're a leader, then lead. And the Greek word there is the word proisteme, which has got nothing to do with position and got nothing to do with title. It literally means pro in front, isteme, to stand or to step. The word in the Greek literally means to stand in front and be seen as an example, or to step out and go in front as the pioneer. And it's saying there, if you're a leader, then will you please stand up and be an example in what God is doing? And if you are a leader, will you please step out first and pioneer in what God is doing in this church? Well, Trish seems to be enjoying it. I think when I'm preaching, it's the only time Trish agrees with me, actually. Those of you who are leaders, whether you're wider leaders, which it took me some time when we were in the church to understand that wasn't talking about your weight problem. If you're wider leaders, if you're youth leaders, if you're children's leaders, if you're elders, if you're in any way in leadership, and that might be the informality because there are people of great influence in this church who have no real role and no real position, but they're leaders because people look to them and people follow them. Are you with me? If you're a leader or an influencer in any way, I'm going to put it bluntly, you do not have a choice and an option. If you're a leader, when God moves, you don't have an option to be a spectator and a passenger. If you're a leader, when God moves, you don't have an option to be lukewarm and half-hearted. If you're a leader, you don't have an option to be disinterested and disengaged. If you're a leader, you don't have an option when God moves to be uncertain or cooperative or to drag your feet. If you're a leader, I encourage you this morning. I exhort you this morning. I challenge you this morning. Perhaps even one or two of you, I rebuke you this morning. This week, Tris and I went to visit a couple of pastors in the West Country. I hadn't seen them for actually since our wedding reception. There was some sort of minor illness in between. And we were just talking with, they invited us for a light lunch. If that was a light lunch, I'm so glad they didn't invite us to dinner. But we were just talking with them, and next, in December, they celebrate 30 years as pastors of the same church, which in and of itself is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And then they were talking, as I've known the church for years and I've known the leaders. And you know, most of their leadership, particularly their core leadership, has been with them for that 30 years. Do you know that is really, really, really unusual? Because whenever God moves, there tends to be a change in leadership. That's what Trish and I do. We travel around different countries and different churches. Whenever God moves, there tends to be a change in leadership. For the leaders of the old don't make the change to be leaders in the new. The leaders of the old don't grow and adapt and step in so they become the leaders of the... Are you enjoying this? Not even Tris is enjoying it now. Don't look at me like that, folks. I can only preach what God told me to preach. Judges chapter 5 is what's called the Song of Deborah, and I could actually preach an entire sermon about how God is going to use powerful women at this time, but that might upset even more of you. Judges chapter 5, verse 2, it says this, and I'm reading out of a new translation. I know yours is a bit different, but I love this one. The Song of Deborah, after they've gone out and they've won the great battle, Deborah sung a song, and it was this: when the leaders leave, and the people willingly follow, God's will gets done. I don't know about you, I want to see God's will happening in this church. How many times have we done, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done? And we don't mean a word of it. When God, leaders lead, when the people willingly follow, God's will gets done. I am sort of starting to close. I do hope it's not too much like a long-haul flight where they tell you they're sort of starting the landing thing. An hour later, you're still in the air. Do you know there's always three types of people when God moves? There are some who are loving what is happening and jump into what God is doing. There are some who aren't really sure, because it's all a bit new and it's all a bit strange. But that's okay. Be hungry, be humble, be teachable. But there are always some who really not liking it at all. And in their head, they're grumbling, and with their lips, they're grumbling. There's been much talk lately about new wine needing new wineskins. And I don't even need to give you a reference because you all know the passage. Nobody even tries to pour new wine into old wineskins. The problem with old wineskins is not that they have never held wine. It's that they once held wine. And because of that, they've become brittle, they've become rigid, they become dry, they become inflexible. Some of you have been in this church a long time, and I want to honor your faithfulness, because I think we're in a time where we don't realize the incredible value of faithfulness in the body of Christ. Some of you grew up in this church. Some of you, your parents were in this church. Some of you got saved in this church. Some of you have never, ever known another church. And I guess if this is all you've ever known, this is all you know there is. I exhort you, make sure you're not an old wineskin. Do you remember the prophetic shout which I talked about one day back in 2015? I was driving through Chilcompton and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and it burst out of my belly like a shout. And one of the things I loved about lockdown is quite a number of people messaged me with, Chris, this is what you talked about. And most people who messaged me quoted it really badly, which kept me entertained for a few months. But what burst out of my belly was this: big change. Big rearrange. It's going to seem strange, but do not be afraid. Do you remember that? God has been speaking that for 10 years or so now. Big change. Big rearrange. It's going to seem strange, but don't be afraid. When you've been in the church all your life, any change seems like a big change. When this is all you know, any change seems like a big change. When all, it's going to seem strange, going to be uncomfortable, going to be a bit scary. I know some of you are here because God specifically called you here. But you know, this church, like the vast majority of churches, most people are in it by either habit or preference. And if that's why we're in the church, and there's nothing wrong with that, any change seems like a big change. I've got a lot more notes. I'm going to cut it here and land it. Can you stand up, church? Chris Brown, wherever you toddle off to, can you come and play the ukulele? Just close your eyes, raise your hands. I know I've left this hanging in the air, but I'm very, very aware of the time. So you can make up the end of the sermon yourself. I was so glad Stephen started the way he did this morning. As I arrived, Stephen said, I really feel to start the service by talking about God does not change. I thought that could be a bit of a problem because I'm preaching on change. But actually, you need the both. And actually, the verse in Isaiah 43, verse 18, which is, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, because God is doing a new thing, is reversed three chapters later, where God says, remember the former things, for I, the Lord, do not change. When things are changing, when what you are familiar with is changing, when what you've known all of your life might be changing, and it might seem like a big change, and it might seem strange, and it might seem uncomfortable. How do you journey through that? God does not change. One of the verses I come back to again and again is in Malachi, where the Lord declares, I, the Lord, do not change. That's one of my default verses if I'm going through a storm or a crisis or a transition or stuff that's upsetting me, the stuff is turbulent. That's what you hold on to. I, the Lord, do not change. The cloud moved. You might end out in different scenery. You might end out in a different landscape, but it was exactly the same cloud. Because the Lord does not change. The God you've known all of your life, we've heard about it this morning, the God who is faithful, the God of love, the God of grace, the God who has never let you down. He never changes. And when things are changing, things you almost depended on, things that you were so comfortable with, when that starts to change, how do you journey through that? God does not change.